me on the steering wheel, both thumbs on the phone and laughing and looking down at his phone. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a company vehicle that you are doing this with. But in addition to that, I happened to be at the gas station. And when I was at the gas station, I had somebody that went to pull into a pump the same time I did. And he was in a company vehicle. He happened to be in a heating and cooling vehicle. And when he saw that I was getting ready to pull in, he backed out. He moved over to another pump. And I know that's something that's really kind of, you know, simple. But not everybody will think to do something like that. Not everybody, most people are just trying to hurry and get into that pump. And, but it wasn't the case with this guy. He went ahead and he backed up, moved over to another one. And of course, when we got out, I thanked him, you know, and said that I appreciated it. So I thought that was really a great way for him to represent the vehicle that he was driving and the name on the vehicle that he was driving. Because it, you know, those little things, people do pay attention to that. So, that's a little bit of what I had talked about on Monday. So, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to start off with, the thank you that I forgot to say probably about 7 minutes ago, but I do want to thank everybody for jumping on here. I know we usually have the same people every week, and I did not send out an invite, so the fact that all of you are on here, really, we appreciate it. And I also definitely appreciate those that download it and listen to it. It means a lot to us. So, but are there any questions or anything that anybody came up with this week that you would like to discuss, share with us, ask everybody else thoughts and opinions on it? Anybody? Bueller?
I do, actually, Jen.
Okay.
I have been running into a lot of iron tanks that another company is putting in to get rid of a sulfur smell. And I personally, I don't believe I've ever been taught to do that, but I'm running into it a lot. And I didn't know what the length of time that was going to last, if it was going to have the same amount of maintenance that it would if you were using it for iron, things like that.
Is it removing the sulfur smell? Is it taking care of what it is? Okay. My answer to this, it's not going to be probably what you want to hear, but I think it depends on the equipment itself. Similar to sometimes when you pick up a water softener at a big box store, it's a water softener, but it may not last as long as what something that somebody would buy from a dealership, from a professional water treatment company. So it really depends on the equipment, I think. And okay. If you're able to figure out where they had purchased it from, then I
right.
would recommend that you go ahead and research that equipment and see if you get a pair of answers from there.
Okay.
Yeah, it really depends.
Have you ran into it before?
Kinda, not that I can think of offhand. Has anybody else, Stacy, have you run into that?
My question is, have these houses actually tested positive for sulfur, or is it just a rotten egg smell?
Good question.
It was just the smell, to my knowledge. So you hadn't have a test. I went in, and it was after the fact, like I would go in for a reverse osmosis or something, or they'd already have one of our softeners, but then they had this put in, you know, kind of thing. And I was kind of disappointed because I kind of felt like the other company took advantage of these people. Because there's other ways. Yeah, there's other ways to treat it. And I personally believe they spent a lot more money than they needed to to take care of a very small issue because it was not bad. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't.
So one of the things I run into here a lot on wells, I've got certain areas that have a high amount of manganese. And the manganese, when it overloads a filter or overloads a softener or not being treated at all, has that slight rotten egg smell to it.
Right.
And especially, you know, I've got houses that when their sediment filter overloads, it'll start smelling again. As soon as they change the filter, they're good. Now, because it's on the same level of earth as iron, typically and your typical ion exchange will remove it up to a point. So an iron filter and a sulfur filter would also, because it's going to typically remove the iron in that also, but yeah, it's overkill probably. So that's one of the things I run into that's not sulfur that people think is sulfur a lot.
Right.
And so that would be my question, because yeah, sulfur filter would definitely be overkill. But
that's what I thought. I thought it would be a lot easier to deal with in another way. I even saw them put one in a house that I looked in the back of the toilet, and I'm pretty confident they have bacteria. I should get the results back today or tomorrow. That's what's troubling to me.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people think that iron bacteria smell or the just the iron metal smell in the first place, they'll swear they have sulfur, and it's like, no. And I do have a sulfur test kit, so I test.
Right. I test occasionally. I usually don't carry it with me because it's so little of a problem around here.
Mm-hmm.
I've only tested positive once, and it was such a minute amount that you really couldn't even, you know, it wasn't a big deal to deal with. You didn't have to buy a $2,000 piece of equipment for it.
Right.
So.
Exactly. And I run into it I carry my kit because I probably have a positive test 6 times a year.
Okay.
But
okay.
Not major amounts.
Hmm.
So, and I only test if there's a smell. If there's not a smell, then I'm not, you know, it's taking the extra time for that part.
And Joan, this kind of goes back a little bit to something that we discussed. You know, when you had first began working with your company, that, you know, it's possible that it was overkill, but somebody went ahead and they put in something that was not totally necessary. The other possibility is, if you remember, we had discussed that once you went through the training, and especially the MEP, that it is, you've only been in the industry for a few months now, but you mm-hmm. learn so much, especially because of the MEP, you learn so much that you probably have more knowledge than some people that have been in the industry for 5 to 10 years. And it's not saying that they're incapable or they're, you know, they're dumb, you know.
Right,
it's not saying that. It's saying that they weren't properly trained. What happens a lot of times, unfortunately, is that they just come in sales, and it's like, okay, go out and sell these softeners. Go out and sell these drinking water systems. But they don't understand the chemistry to it. They don't understand what equipment does what. And so they come in and maybe they say, okay, well, there's this nasty smell. And somebody says, oh, just go ahead and throw in an iron filter. You know, they don't go through all the steps that you have been trained to do. So it could have been, you know, overkill. It could have been somebody was doing, you know, just wanting to get a really good sale. But there's also maybe they don't know any different. So
right. I guess I never thought about that.
And, yeah, find out who they are, give them our card. No, I'm kidding. but, you know, and this, again, this is kind of why Motive Vitality does what Motive Vitality does, is because we wanted to start getting rid of those, you know, we wanted to put education into the industry is what we wanted to do.
Right.
Have people recognize how important it is to get that education. So I love the fact that you're noticing that. You're not just kind of overlooking it.
Right.
My recommendation also would be don't go in and bash them. Just say, I'll look into that piece. Yeah, I'll look into that piece of equipment, and I can give you a little bit of an idea of, you know, how long it lasts. And, you know, I don't know that that's something that I want to do, but here's my recommendation. If this piece of equipment, you know, isn't working for you anymore. And, you know, don't recommend removing, if it's doing the job, don't recommend removing the equipment, because I have seen that also before where there was a couple that their water softener, which was only 6 months old and they paid a lot of money for it, wasn't working correctly. And they also, they were elderly and they didn't want to deal with the salt because that particular company didn't have salt delivery. And somebody else came in, and instead of putting them on a salt delivery, they said, well, let me just go ahead and put an iron filter and one of the saltless systems in. And they found out 6 months later that that saltless system wasn't working for them. And the iron was being removed by the iron filter, but it wasn't removing the calcium. So the phone call that we received was, can you have somebody come out and give us reverse osmosis for our shower, our dishwasher, and our sink?
Oh, no.
So of course, the first question is why, you know, and we had to get down to the root of that, but that's what had happened. But they had just paid for this very, very expensive water softener. This was definitely a company and a salesperson that walked in the door, high pressure sales, and was just happy to take the money from this elderly couple. But then they ended up having it removed 6 months later instead of, you know, keeping it there, fixing it, or just adding in an iron filter or something and keeping it there and cleaning it and salt delivery. So anyways, don't recommend removing it unless they're just like, you know, I don't want it down there. Just kind of work around it.
Right, yeah, and that's what I've been doing. I mean, they've already bought it, so it's theirs, so.
Yeah. So, okay. Any other questions? Anything else? Okay, so, I heard another ding. So the main topic, we only have a few more minutes here, but the topic that I wanted to discuss is I wanted to see, like I said, I'm giving this presentation and I've been kind of tweaking it here and there, and I had it way too long and then I had to shorten it. And one of the things that I want to hear from you, the people that are out there running the sales appointments, some of you may be running service, I would like to hear what questions would you like when somebody calls in, ring, ring, and they answer, hello, ABC Water, how can I help you? And they say, you know what, my water softener is not working. What questions would you like for the person answering the phone to ask? And I have my list, but I want to hear you who are in the field every single day. What do you run into that you're like, man, I wish they would have asked that? Or what have you heard the person answering the phone ask that you're like, yes, that's perfect. So, okay, everybody can speak at once.
It's Stacy.
No, I mean, go ahead, Stacy. Sorry.
Go ahead, Joan.
I was going to say, one of the biggest things is rural or municipal or well.
Okay.
I mean, I know we can find that when we're there, but it's kind of nice then, because if it's municipal or rural, we can research the water, consumer confidence report, and kind of have an idea what we're, you know, dealing with.
Right. See, that wasn't on my list. So I love that. Okay. Mm-hmm.
One of the things I'd like for them to ask more when they're actually scheduling an appointment is morning, afternoons, evenings, you know, what's convenient for them, and then go over what options, because I find them sometimes trying to just plug them in a hole that's in my schedule, and that may not be convenient for them. And I've often told them, if they need another time, call me, ask. If I've got it blocked out for personal, it may, I could, you know, I'm blocking out a bigger time than I really need. I might be able to squeeze them in. Just call me because we want to make it convenient for them.
Right. And the other, and I think that most of us agree on, is we need to have them ask, when is a good time that, you know, we can have everybody there? You know, if it's a husband and wife situation or a partner situation, significant other situation, you know, when is a good time to have all decision makers there? And we kind of veer away from the word decision makers, but that's what we're trying to get to, is when is it that, so that, and the way that I always explained it was, you know, when is a good time for, to have both people there, if, so that I can answer questions that they may have instead of you trying to remember what, you know, we talked about, or they may have questions that, that you may not have. It's just easier to answer both, answer for both of you at the same time. So that is one thing that I always try, which means a lot of evening appointments, because in most cases there is somebody that's, you know, one person is working during the day, at least one person's working during the day. So, but that was always kind of my, and what I hear the most from everybody is that, you know, they, the one-leggers are tough sometimes, and they don't like the one-leggers.
Right.
What other questions? Go ahead.
I would like them to ask what's wrong with their water, you know, like what kind of things are they unhappy about? Just so that way you can kind of be prepared for that too. Like if it is a rotten egg smell, oh, make sure you have your sulfur kit, you know, things like that.
Right, right. That's a good idea.
Sometimes people call and they just say, you know, what's the price of the softener? Thinking that they're just going to get a quick price from the office. And a lot of times the office will say, you know, I can't discuss price, but I'll have a territory manager come out. Rather than saying that, I'd rather them just simply ask, okay, well, what's your hardness of your water? Because the person's not going to know. And then the office can say, oh, have you had a chance to have a water quality test done? And they'll say no. Then we can schedule me to come out, and I think it'll keep the customer happier.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that, too, especially because so many times people call in and ask, and one of the customer service reps will flip it to whoever's in the office, and I'm like, and then they're on a well. Well, there's no way of telling what they're going to need on a well without testing.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. And, you know, there's also the issue of, you know, well, do you know if it's, do you currently have a softener? Do you, you know, do you have a loop that leads to the softener? Do you have the plumbing that leads to the softener? Do you know if your outside lines are soft or hard? Do you know if your kitchen line is soft or hard? You know, questions like that, because some people may have already got a reading from another company and they're just kind of price shopping. If that's the case, then, you know, asking those questions, a lot of times somebody from another company will just come in and just test the water and maybe give them the readings, but just kind of test the water and not really explain what everything is. So that is perfect opportunity for the office to say, you know what, let me go ahead and have our territory manager come out and test your water and everything free of charge, and then they can give you different options.
And it makes it seem less like a salesperson's going out there and more of a, you know, someone to diagnose problems.
Exactly. Exactly. How many times have you run across a situation where you get called in, you show up, and they say, you know what, I just want to have my softener fixed. I don't know why they sent a salesperson out. What questions do you think they could ask? If that's the case, because I've heard that a lot.
It happens. And I think it's just sometimes they get in a real hurry and they're not asking enough questions, especially on Mondays when the phones are busy. And I think they need to be, you know, especially if it's one of our customers, when they look up their account, It's like, so what's the issue with the softener or the drinking water system? What are you looking to do?
Yeah. Are you looking to try to fix it or buy or rent a new one?
Mm-hmm.
Replace. Okay. And then, you know, in that case, I know service can go out there, and if service goes out there and says, okay, it's just shattered, it doesn't make sense to go ahead and fix this, then you have the opportunity to go back out and give them options.
Or the other thing that I run into occasionally is they'll book a service call, and it's, let's say, a 15-year-old piece of equipment. We always recommend go ahead and tell them that one of us can come out and take a look at the equipment before the tech gets there to see if it is repairable or not, and we don't charge for that. That way they're not paying for a service call if it needs to be replaced, and we can get that taken care of earlier rather than later. But I've had times where they've booked it, and the service guys beat me there. They'll book us on the same day, and it's like, no, let's go first. Because, you know, they just spent $400 on a repair. They're not replacing it.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. They're there to fix it. It's their job. Just like your job is to sell it. But, okay. What other questions qualify? I mean, like, I personally, I liked knowing when I walked into the home, I liked knowing ahead of time how many people are in the home, what issues are you running into. We actually had a list of questions that they would ask, and it was a half sheet piece of paper, and they would fill that half sheet piece of paper out. And this was prior to, you know, a lot of the electronic, you know, now we have the CRMs and things like that that the sales team has access to, but they would ask these questions and say, you know, how many people are in the house? Are you on well? Are you on city? Are you, you know, how many bathrooms? So when you walked in, you had a really good idea. How old is your current piece of equipment if you have equipment? You know, do you have a drinking water system? You had a really good idea when you walked in what you were walking into, because sometimes, you know, it's tough walking in and all of a sudden being blindsided, like you mentioned before, Joan, with like the rotten egg smell, the sulfur smell. It's nice to be prepared to, you know, have that test with you instead of carrying it with you everywhere, because usually most of those tests, I know I tried really hard not to leave my test kits in the car, especially when it was really hot outside. So instead of lugging in and out, you know, every single time. So can you think of any other questions?
If it's a rental unit, you know, sometimes we'll get an appointment in the same day where we're already out in the field, so we don't have access to the computer and everything. I'd like to know how much they're, you know, they're currently paying, that sort of information.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Salt usage is good, too.
Yeah, salt usage.
Okay. Awesome. Well, it is just about 9 o'clock. So, hey guys, I totally appreciate your feedback. This is what I like hearing on the calls. And, you know, for some of the people that download this and listen to it later, a lot of times these are owners and managers that download and listen. And, you know, it's good feedback for them also to hear what you out in the field would like to, you know, what makes your job a little bit easier. So hopefully if this is we have managers or owners that are on the call, you know, stop and ask your team, what kinds of things would you like are the person that answers the phone to ask, what would you like to see that would make your job easier? Because I am such a firm believer in if you make your employees happy, take care of your employees and they will take care of your business and your customers. So with that, thanks again, everybody. And again, booth 1131 over at the WQA conference. And if you have any questions, always feel free to give me a call. And we will talk to you guys soon.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.